Okay, now better? Okay. So this is really Jan's course. I'm just talking about it today. And Diane and Jim are the ones behind the scenes who get everything ready. And I'm going to concentrate about the lab part in our course and go through that. And we start off with this picture where you see us doing infiltration. And in the back scenery, that's the Davis campus. And one thing I want to show is that the students are actually enjoying the course. So I think that's important in the soil physics and not compromising on the quality. So really acknowledging the ones who built this course is Nielsen and Ralston, I think since 1958. And Jan basically took and continued their tradition of soil physics teaching. So before I get into the lab, I'll talk a little bit about the course structure, then go through the different labs, show the connection between them, and then finally talk about the students, what they struggle with, and how we teach. Okay, so UC Davis is in a 10-week quarter system. It's a stressed environment. And it's an intense course. We meet 5 times a week with the students. They're fed up with us after a week. 3 hours of lectures, one time for a 3-hour lab, and at the end of the week, they get 1-hour discussion session, and if that's not enough, they get lab reports, homework, and 2 midterms, and a final exam, all in 10 weeks. So just to give you an idea of what we cover after the introduction and basics, going to water flow, spatial variability a little bit, and then going to transport, solute, root uptake, gas flow, and heat flow. And these are the labs. This is what I'm going to dive into a little bit. So we start with basic soil science, physical properties. Then we have two labs that are our major labs that go along all the quarter. One is the retention curves, and the other is the large columns, which I'm going to show later. We do field measurements, saturated hydraulic conductivity, and you can see the rest. In infiltration, we sometimes get rain, but we have a surreptivity lab that we alternate between, so we have some flexibility there. Okay, Tempe cells, equilibrium state retention curve. Just pack the soils in the Tempe cell and start running different pressure. And at the end of the course, basically they get a retention function and they have to come up with the Van Genuchten parameters for the different soils. Okay, if that was static, this is our dynamic setup. We have 1 meter height columns and tensiometers basically inside the column at different heights, and we run different flow scenarios and get the different head distribution of transient and steady state scenario, and basically help the students see and analyze the pressure distributions at the different scenarios. I'm going to browse through the different weekly labs that we have. So physical properties, just different bulk density, porosity, water content, and then we do different methods of particle size analysis. And then the second week, we dive into the field and just overwhelm the students with measuring techniques. Neutron probe here on the left side. You can see we have a nice setup with a sprinkler here, access tubes around a tree, and we show them that with a neutron probe you can get a nice spatial variability of the moisture content, sampling techniques, and measurements. Another week, we do saturated hydraulic conductivity, so we really do constant head. All the students actually do a constant head measurements, and then we do a falling head demonstration. Oh, Jan. So here you see Jan's advantage of really highly capable in demonstrating this. We also have a demonstration of air permeability on dry soil and correlate intrinsic permeability to hydraulic conductivity. And the week after we do that, we do the infiltration in the field. In the field also, I don't know how well it's seen here, but we have the large latissimeter in Davis. So we take the students there and visit the latissimeter. There's an arrow here showing the entrance, so we take all the students underground, visit the latissimeter, and it's a nice visit with the rats. Okay. Other weekly labs, solid breakthrough curves. We use calcium chloride because it's just a direct measurement of the EC gives you the concentration. And in gas flow, we use CO2. Good gas diffusion experiment. Again, simple. Our last lab is just a demonstration lab, and we demonstrate heat flow with the heat pulse probe, doing different water contents and flow scenarios. Okay, so David showed the general student enrollment and the general trend that we see an increase. And David, this is our population. And apart from the numbers that you can see, we have in this Jan has another course, which is Vado zone modeling, which is the advanced part of the course. This is the fundamental course, so it's about 50% undergraduate students and 50% graduate students. The undergrads are usually coming with from a narrow two majors, soil science and hydrology. But the grad students, you can get them from around, because people who hadn't had soil physics before and now coming to the graduate program and want to get the fundamentals, you can see a lot of majors and departments coming to this course. So our trend is not as straightforward.
But it's increasing in recent years, right?
Yeah. Okay, so what do students learn? What I think they learn from all what I've shown. So water content versus pressure. That's the first thing we try to teach. What is the difference, why we measure both, and the driving forces. As in the advanced course, I think they learn the multi-component or multi-physical interrelationship between the different physical properties, and then complexity versus simplicity. So, you know, we talk about how complex and the interrelationship between the physical properties that give you the complexity, but in the lab we actually do very simple experiments to illustrate the physical phenomena. Students work in the lab, you know, labs for student are not as common as before. So just getting the students, you know, getting them approaching the bench and doing the experiments with their hands is not trivial. You know, they're afraid to mess up things. So that's one of the things you have to teach them. Come, make mistakes, it's okay, redo it and get the experiment right. Put emphasis on the boundary conditions so that we can use the models for the experiments we're running. So no surprise, they struggle with the calculus. What we try to do is use simple experiments so we can use simple analytical models with our experiments. I know it's very tempting to use Hydrus, for instance, because it gives you a lot of flexibility. But then the students are using some tool that they don't know how it works. In this case, we use simple expressions, and I think then the students understand more what's behind this. So at the end, I think the cartoon we try to make the calculus the easy part of the course so they can really focus on the physics. So what do they struggle in the physics? Again, water content versus pressure. This is I think a hard part actually for the students. And then once you get over that, you get into the pressure. What is potential? You know, pressure. Why are we saying pressure in centimeters head? What's going on here? You know, the students are. Yeah. And then after that, pressure head versus total head. That, you know, so that sequence of things is hard for the students, and reference points are always confusing for them. Data analysis, anything beyond the basic mean and standard deviation is weird and hard for them. And fitting the data to something else than a polynomial in Excel is, you know, fitting the data to your analytical model that you use in the lab is something new for them, and we use Excel Solver for that. Writing reports, you see a great change and improvement in along the course. And at the end, compiling the knowledge. What do they really understand? What do they get? What comes in from this area and goes out from the other? That's a question. And so why we think this works, this way of doing the coursework, so how we make it work. First, to make them compile the knowledge, they work through the same topic in different ways. So they hear it from Jan in the class, they have the homework that they do in it, and then they come to the lab, they do the hands-on, and then they have to write it out in a report. And after all that, they also have the exams. So just through going things again and again and working through it makes them, I think, understand. Concentrate on two major labs that give the main physical or the main physics in soil physics. So the Tempe cells of retention curve and the flow columns. If they understand that, they understand 80% of soil physics. And then coordinate everything to be a concert, you know, so the lab has a topic every week, and Jan cannot be lazy. He has to keep up with the lab, get the theory done by the lab, give them all the tools that they have, so when they come in to do the experiment, they have it.
Okay, thank you, Tamir.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a comment, and then maybe we'll take another while you're loading the next one.
Sure.
So this conundrum of do you let students use models that they don't know how they work? Well, I thought of an analogy. We let students use analytical solutions that they don't know how to get them, right?
We don't, because we go through them in class.
Okay.
We
you don't use any solutions to CDE?